everybody to our service of morning prayer today. Jesus has been telling parables, and parables that seek to tell us a little bit about the kingdom of heaven and what it's like or what it's similar to. Some of the parables are about the way the kingdom of God grows and spreads. Others stress its value compared to anything else in life. So that's the theme for this morning's service. And we're going to pray as we approach God and worship him today. Lord God, we have so much to be thankful for in our lives. Help us to treasure the things that really matter, like our family and our friends and our relationship with you. As we gather today, help us to see all people as truly precious, not only to you, but in our eyes too, and in doing so, grow your kingdom. Amen. And you may be seated as we listen and hum to our first hymn, God is Love, Let Heaven Adore Him. Increase in us a sense of wonder that we might see signs of your kingdom wherever we are. And bless us with the words to tell new stories of your love and grace to all we meet. We pray in your name. Amen. And we continue on in our prayers as we confess our sins. We take a moment to come before God and think of where we have let him down in recent days. Forgive us, loving God, when we stop looking for treasure and give up reading your word. Forgive us when we give up the yeast of our faith and our lives go flat. Forgive us when we don't cast out our nets, but stay on shore, complacent and unenthusiastic. Forgive us, inspire us, and renew us in Jesus' name. Amen. And the collect for today, as we collect our thoughts together before the readings, the collect for the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now listen to our first reading.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long, we are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here endeth the reading. A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus put before the crowd another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old. Here endeth the reading. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We all love the idea of hidden treasure, you know, finding that pot of gold under the rainbow. And certainly for those who like scuba diving, there's many very interested in ships that have gone down under the water and trying to find treasure. I was reading about one Spanish ship that had gone down off the Florida coast centuries ago, and a man called Mel Fisher said he had an idea where it was. It took him, he said, 12 months it'll take me. 12 years it took him to find the ship. And even when he found it, he didn't find the treasure until it was the 16th year. So, and it actually went down in the Guinness Book of Records as being the most valuable shipwreck to be recovered. So how would you like to discover some real treasure? Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is a treasure. There is no treasure like the treasure of his kingdom. And when Jesus spoke on the Sermon on the Mount, he made a very striking statement about treasure. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So we've been listening to various parables that Jesus has been telling us for the last few weeks. Parables, those little stories which Jesus told, which contained very important truths. And which was not unusual, for soon as Jesus had left, and the people had left Jesus, his disciples would come to him and say, tell us what this meant. And so he was talking about the pearl as a treasure and went on then to talk about the kingdom of heaven being like a treasure hidden in a field which someone had found and hid. And then in his joy he goes out and sells all that he has and he buys the field. The treasure means so much to this man. He wants to put everything he has into it. And I guess what I'm trying to say to you today is that there is no treasure that is like the treasure of God's kingdom. Jesus came to usher in a new age, the new age of God's kingdom. This was one of the great themes of his preaching. He often talked about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And I suppose what Jesus was basically trying to say was that he was talking about the rule of God in our lives and in the life of the world. It was both present and future. Sometimes when we think about the kingdom of God, we just think about the after, when we pass away and we go up to life eternal in heaven. That's when we will experience the kingdom of God. But actually, the kingdom of God is present with us, even with us now, deep within us and all around us. Jesus said, "This kingdom is like the treasure hid in a field. It's so valuable, a man would sell all of his possessions to acquire it." I'm thinking about treasure of his kingdom. First, the treasure of the kingdom creates life's greatest joy. In the parable of this parable, the man discovered the treasure was hidden in a field, and he was overwhelmed with the joy of going to be able to have that treasure, the greatest discovery he had ever made. It filled his life with joy. And Jesus was saying that the kingdom of heaven fills our life with that kind of joy. Of course, joy is something we all want to find, and it's not always the easiest thing to find. Multitudes of people are looking for happiness and joy, but in the wrong places. Of course, people would love to be happy, but it's hard to define it. They would love to find happiness, but they don't know where it is. So they are wandering around like sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes joy and happiness and fulfillment are seen as being tangible things which we can get or which we can buy. We forget that joy never comes to us that way. It's always a byproduct, always the result of something else. It's not found in the things we possess so much as in the things that possess us. It is found not in what we can own, but in some ways in what owns us. It is found not in what we create for ourselves, but in what we discover along the way. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. Joy is always a great discovery. It's always a great surprise. The joy we want is found in our citizenship in God's kingdom, for that is really the only place that we belong. Only there do we find a sense of well-being and fulfillment. Only in God's kingdom do we find the answer to life's questions and a sense of hope and time, hope for a time and for eternity. And when we make this discovery, it begins to fill our lives with joy, a kind of joy which shows up in the way we live our lives. To discover the treasure of the kingdom of heaven is to find the greatest joy. And secondly, the treasure of his kingdom costs the highest price. The greatest joy is never free. It always requires something. The price is high. Jesus said, "This man in his parable sells all that he has. He sold everything in order to raise enough money to be able to buy the field in which the treasure was found." The kingdom of heaven is like that. It costs the highest price. It may seem a little bit of a negative way to think about things, about the kingdom of heaven and the Christian life costing us everything. We might even feel that it's too difficult, that it's too demanding. Yet in life, when you think about it, there are so many things which will cost us everything. And when those things are through with us, they will leave us broken. I don't know if you remember the TV, American TV actor called Mickey Rooney. He said, I spent $2 at a racetrack one time, and I've spent about $3 million trying to get it back. Anything that we commit our lives to can wind up costing us everything. Everything we choose, every choice we make can cost us everything. That being the case, the only sensible and sane thing to do is to choose the way of the kingdom of God. And as we give everything to it, we discover an amazing thing. It begins to take root in our hearts and grow. And it creates within us the very best that we can become. And like all good investments, it will provide in us and for us wonderful dividends. In the kingdom of heaven, you can have your inheritance now. St. Paul wrote to the Romans, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So to discover the treasure of the kingdom of heaven is to learn it costs life's highest price. And finally, thirdly, the treasure of his kingdom calls for the deepest commitment, because the kingdom of heaven offers us the greatest joy at the greatest cost. It calls for the deepest commitment. Jesus tells us when this man sells all that he has in order to raise enough money, then he buys the field. That man made the commitment. He bought it. He followed it through all the way. Remember when Jesus is telling his parables to the disciples, he's trying to teach them about the kingdom of God. He's been training them. He wants them to understand. He wants them to be God's people, to understand what that means, to understand the sacrifice they would be making, and at the same time, the value of the kingdom. He's trying to impress those things on them. Christ's kingdom always calls for a note of sacrifice, taking a chance, living on the edge. There was a Native American working down in Florida who used to rescue alligators for the tourists, for their amusement. One time, after a performance, a lady came up to him. She noticed that he wore a string of alligator teeth around his neck. She said, oh, that's sort of like wearing a string of pearls. To which he replied, not quite anyone can open an oyster. Anyone can be religious. Having kingdom of God treasure is something else altogether. It always requires commitment. It calls us to give our lives to Christ and to the rule of God in our lives. It puts us among the people of God who have been faithful to him across the centuries. It reorders our priorities in life. What we think is important, what we are living for. It leads us to dedicate our lives, who we are, what we can do, our abilities, and even our dreams to God's kingdom. And in the midst of this kind of commitment, we make the most marvelous discovery. Even though we may have begun thinking it will cost us a great deal, we discover suddenly that we have riches untold, beyond measure, and we become overwhelmed by the value of the treasure we have found. And this is the treasure of the kingdom of God. Blessed be God, day by day. Amen. Let us pray together. God of love and wisdom, in our prayers today we bring to you the nations of the world and their leaders, amid growing tensions and accusations and mistrust. We give thanks for those pooling their resources to find a vaccine for the coronavirus. We pray especially today for Spain, where the virus is taking hold again in various areas. And we pray for Texas in the wake of a hurricane which is causing people to leave their homes. We pray for those offering sanctuary to refugees and others that need safe lodging. And we remember and pray for those countries where we have family and friends, and all those places whose suffering touches our hearts. Lord, may the truths of your kingdom be our strength. We pray for those industries hardest hit economically, for all who are struggling with self-worth after losing their jobs, for young people applying for university, for those applying for benefits, for charities struggling to cope with increased demand and reduced income. Lord, may the truths of your kingdom be our strength. We pray for churches and places of worship. We pray for Bishop Paul and Bishop Clinton as they welcome congregations back into many parishes. We pray for courage as those in charge and leading encounter new challenges, and the joy as they embrace new opportunities. We pray for one another as we reflect on the parables and live out our faith. Lord, may the truths of your kingdom be our strength. We pray for those away or heading on holidays, making safe choices for themselves and others, for safety on the roads, on the beaches, and in the sea, and on rivers, for those who work in the emergency services, for lifeguards and lifeboat crews. We pray that everyone would respect the environment, and we pray for those who collect litter, especially those on the beaches. And we pray too for those unable to get away or to take a break. Lord, may the truths of your kingdom be our strength. And as we pray for those who are ill, we think of those on our own hearts that need our prayers. We pray for those in hospital and those at home, those awaiting operations and treatments, those getting over surgery, and those receiving palliative care. And we remember with thankfulness those who have died and gone before us. And we especially remember Leslie Smith today on his anniversary. And so we pray for all who are still grieving. And we pray especially for those who were unable to gather and to comfort one another in recent months and weeks at the loss of a loved one or the illness of one they loved. Lord, may the truths of your kingdom be our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we join together and gather our prayers and praises into one as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. We have our closing hymn, to which we can hum away to, very well known, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not many announcements, but to say next Sunday we're going to celebrate Holy Communion together. So we haven't done that since we came back to church because we wanted to get used to the new normal, as they say. So we look forward to having communion next Sunday. And for anybody who gets the happenings email, apologies, it didn't come out this weekend because we have a computer glitch at the moment. So hopefully that will be back. And we will have a recording of this service online by the time Norman uploads it, about lunchtime, after lunchtime. So do pass that on to anybody who you know can't get out to church and that might be interested in listening to the service. So thank you for that. The Lord be with you all. Let us bless the Lord. And may the joy of the kingdom go with you. May the peace of the kingdom sustain you. And may you know the King of the kingdom, Jesus Christ, to be your friend and saviour as you journey through the coming week. Amen.